Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Feedback, a weekly show that airs on iHeartRadio that focuses on events impacting you. It's also available as an iHeartRadio podcast. Here's your host, Abby Bonnell.
Dr. Susan Matson, Professor of Leadership and Ethics at the Wabree School of Business at Utah Valley University, was handed a lofty task by state leaders to explore why Utah was behind the rest of the nation in women's equality and leadership. Fast forward more than a decade, and it's now led to successful projects statewide and beyond globally with the Utah Women and Leadership Project. Dr. Madsen is also a global thought leader, author, and speaker. Welcome to iHeartRadio and Feedback. Great to have you in the studios.
Great to be here.
Well, not many people have the title in charge of social change, Dr. Madsen. Many would be wilting under the pressure, but you have embraced it.
I love it. I was asked, like you said, about 10 years ago to really take on the task of studying why more women weren't graduating from college, which there's a link between college graduation and leadership and finding your voice and your confidence. And so I started that, thought it was a 1 or 2 year project, but people kept wanting research, they wanted resources, and then continued that and have been doing really the education and the leadership and everything that goes along with that for about 10 years. And it doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon.
No. Well, certainly a disturbing statistic. My parents, especially my mother, actually, growing up in Cheshire in a little village, even all those years ago, really emphasized education. And it was non-negotiable. You will go to university. Yes. You will, because it will open the door on the world. And here I am.
Yeah. And, you know, in Utah, there's really a mix. And actually, in the last few years, we've actually gone to about parity with women in bachelor's degree levels. But when you compare women, and I will have to say that's good that women and men are about the same, but there's so many more women and men that need to go to college and graduate in the state of Utah. But when you look at Utah women compared to Utah nationally, we're significantly below the national average. Interestingly, most people, when you look at most states in the United States, there's more women attending college than men. And that's great on the one hand, but on the other hand, we need men to go to college and graduate too.
Sure. So your focus has also shifted in all demographics. Initially, it was, you know, college-aged women and
yes,
why we were failing in that field. But you look now at a younger age group, too, because you have to school them, inspire them, and let them know they can achieve whatever they want if they focus.
Absolutely. We actually do events and we conduct research and provide resources for girls, young women, teens, and women across the board. So sometimes I'll speak to Girl Scout groups or in junior highs, but also I speak to top women leaders across the state as well and across nationally and globally as well for their development, but also the influence that they can be on lifting and really mentoring and helping other women. So we do a lot of things. One of the things that people skip sometimes is the aspirations piece. So if women don't aspire, or let's talk about girls. So if girls don't aspire to go to college, they're not going to go to college. If they don't aspire to be leaders, they're not going to be leaders. And we know the research globally for years continues to say that boys are socialized much more often to see themselves as future leaders than girls.
Confidence, that's an issue, isn't it?
That is an issue. And I teach 2-hour workshops specifically on girls and women and the confidence and how it compares to boys and men. And it's interesting because there's a huge socialization piece to that. There's some genetics, you know, in terms of neurotransmitters and hormones and different things. But that socialization piece really influences girls and women's choices. So even with the wage gap issues, which we're always talking about globally and nationally and in Utah, you know that we're The one study recently said that we were the worst in the nation in terms of the wage gap. But sometimes people in Utah specifically say, well, that's women's choice. And they try to blame it all on women. And yes, it is a complex issue. But when you've been socialized to behave and act and not have aspirations throughout your childhood and into your, you know, teenage years, it's more complex than just saying, well, she chose to do that and she chose a lower paying job or whatever. So there's some real complexity in that. But I tell you, we won't have more women leading in Utah unless we start with girls who are 5 and 6 and 8 and 12 to help them know that they can and should become leaders, that they should use their voice, that they can do have and develop what it takes to become leaders.
Dr. Mattson, there's this element I know I was taught will never be a braggart. Don't boast about any of your accomplishments. You wait for somebody else to sing your praises.
That is an interesting thing because we are socialized not to do that. The trouble is when we do that, we're judged by men and women and other people because we've broken, I'm putting this in quote marks, social norms. And so there's some deep research actually on all of those elements of bragging. And women, actually, I work with a lot of women on workshops and we practice some different skill sets and I teach them different things. And there's some very interesting strategies that we can do that and be confident and have strengths and articulate those, but we have to not do like men. So some women say, well, I'm going to be like men. That doesn't work for women. We need to be ourselves and authentic, but develop more tools to be able to brag, and I wouldn't call it brag, but talk about their gifts and strengths. One of the things I found with numerous studies in Utah is women, and I've seen this in other countries, I have to say, is women really believe that they shouldn't talk about their gifts and strengths. And actually, when we know our gifts and strengths, we can actually contribute in stronger ways, in more meaningful ways in this world. So this is what I'm working on with Utah girls and women a lot, is to actually understand their gifts, their talents, and their strengths more. And then, you know, practice actually talking about it. Because when I give you a compliment, typically, women in general, and I see this more in Utah, we are socialized to say, oh, no.
Yes,
you know,
that's exactly what
no.
I do.
Yeah, don't talk about those. So I actually help women practice taking a compliment, keeping the eye contact, and only saying two words. And that is, thank you. And then close their mouth and smile. Because the tendency is to say, oh, no, you know, that's not me. But in general, that keeps women back from promotions and using their voice. Because people then say, well, they really didn't do that. They gave the credit to other people. So there's some fun techniques with doing that, but then not breaking social norms.
You touched upon a word there, credit. It's important that if you're a manager or a supervisor, you publicly as well as privately congratulate or give credit to that individual for an accomplishment, an achievement.
Absolutely. You need to do that. We need more women to become managers and leaders in workplaces, but also in politics and in community work and in church work and in schools. And in order to do that, we need as women to feel confident. So we need to take, you know, if we dismiss those positive comments, that does something to us internally, but it also makes people that we're around say, well, maybe she's not. I thought she was so good, and maybe she's not because she's discounting that. Most of those behaviors are subtle. Most of those, we think, you know, don't make a big difference, but they do. The research is really common that it really does make a difference. So one of the things, I'll just give you a little tip and a tool that I work with women, especially in politics, on. So one of the things that I've seen done so well by a couple of women politicians through the years is that when they're given a compliment, they actually, and with my hands, I bring it into my chest almost. I bring it in. We take it. So they say, thank you. And then there's a pause. So it's not immediately disclaim or discount. They say, thank you. Pause. And instead of saying but, we say and. Thank you. And I appreciate the wonderful work of my team. So do you see what I just did?
You're complimenting everybody else too.
But yes, accepting. But I took it in.
It's very powerful.
But I took it in. So thank you. What I'm saying is, without saying it, I recognize that I did some great work on that. And instead of but, my team did so well. So that's one of the tools I teach.
Mm, good balance there. You also touched upon representation in politics.
Yes.
And the church, too. Yes. We see it in all realms of life.
It has. And I'm always working with women and encouraging them to run for office, from city council to school boards to the governor, the governor's seat that will be opening. So it really is not through all the history. Actually, years and years ago, we had more women than the nation in terms of women in the state legislature. It was very, very interesting. But that was probably 20, 30 years ago. And throughout time, at the beginning of the history in Utah, we had many women stepping forward. In fact, we had the first woman elected in the United States to a state Senate position. We were the first. So we were really at the forefront. Yet through the years, we've really decreased that representation. And one thing I speak about often is, sometimes when I'm speaking to teenagers, I'll say, do you think it's okay? Do you think it's fine that we don't have many women in our state legislature? Sometimes they'll say, oh, it probably doesn't affect much. And I say,
wow,
actually, it really does.
Yes.
One of the areas of research that I talk about often is, when you look at states that have more women in their state legislature, they actually give funding more to things that women tend to care about a bit more than men, and those are education. So if you have more women in state legislatures, you have more funding to education, you have more funding and bills towards health care and social programs like homelessness and resources for women who have gone through sexual assault and just those kinds of programs. So you can really see a difference in states when you have more women in the state legislature. And we have increased in the last 4 or 5 years somewhat. So we're not the bottom in the United States anymore. We're up into the high 30s, I believe, of the number of states, but we still have some work to do.
We have a long way to go.
And it matters. Still. Women's voices matter, whether it's a school board, whether it's a city council, whether it's a county commissioner, whether it's a state legislature, whether it's a lieutenant governor or governor too.
You mentioned something about the benefits of having women in organizations, politics, business. They bring a different element. And you also mentioned you don't want to carbon copy the skill set of a man.
Yep.
Because we bring something very different, including nurturing,
yep,
to the workplace.
Absolutely. I have a whole brief that I published many years ago on why we need more women leaders in Utah. And there's so much research now that talk about all the benefits for for-profit companies. The research, most of the research, says that you actually make more money as a company. But there's so many research studies on teams and top leadership teams and corporate boards that when there's men and women working together, not just women, not just men, you actually are more innovative of a company. You have more creative decisions. The problem solving is better. And there's a recent study that just came out on Marines and complex problems. The complex problems, and in Europe, especially Britain, they call them wicked problems. I love that
right.
term, wicked problems, but yeah, they're complex problems. The research is coming down the pipe, really strongly, that when you have diversity, and that includes gender, but also race and other kinds of
Absolutely.
Diversity, that you actually, can solve complex problems significantly better than just a group of men meeting.
It takes all walks of life. And certainly when you're on a hiring panel in major organizations, you should have a 50-50 kind of mix here, because you're all looking for different attributes.
Absolutely. And that's pretty common sense these days. So if companies, and I'm not just talking about for-profit, but nonprofit, government, whatever we're doing, if they're not having a diverse hiring panel or hiring group, they're so out of the game here. Because that's
touch.
Pretty basic these days. You have to have. And some of them say, well, we don't have many women who can be on those panels. Well, I basically sometimes I say that's just crap. You have women, or you really need to get women.
Or you need to be recruiting them.
Yes, something like that.
Well, fewer women also are enrolling in higher paying undergraduate fields of study, including engineering, sciences, math, and business. This is the future for our economy here in the state of Utah. Yeah. You look at Silicon Slopes, we can't keep up. There are six-figure paying jobs right now that are vacant. We cannot fill them. How are we going to keep up here?
Well, one comment. We are significantly lower than the nation and globally in terms of that. But I just want to point that in STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math, those kinds of fields across the nation, there's less women than men. But in Utah, we take the trends.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
And we exaggerate those. Mm-hmm. So in Utah specifically, we really struggle more than other states with getting women, even in business. Across the nation, there's about half business students now that are graduating that are women. In Utah, it's significantly, you know, at UVU, we've been doing things for 10 years to try and change that. We're still at 22% women. Some institutions are 30, but we're significantly below. Now, one of the reasons for that is that I believe from the data and just from anecdotal that we still are a good 10 years to 20 years behind in terms of women's decisions to even major in those fields, right? So yeah. We still lean towards, and I did extensive research 10 years ago, and I think it's starting to change, but we still, women tend to be in more traditional fields. So that's elementary and secondary, and I'm not going to take anything away from that because that's such an important, I used to be a junior high teacher myself, mm-hmm. So important. And nursing and the healthcare and social work, and those are important fields. My struggle is, though, we don't even let girls dream about other fields. We don't encourage them. And there's some things, she techs and there's some conferences that are now really getting more girls to even think about that. But we still struggle to even let girls say, well, maybe technology, maybe IT, maybe business. Let's even explore that. So I think there are great counselors in the state of Utah, but I continually still hear from young women that their high school counselors told them that they should not go into certain fields because that's not for women.
Really, the focus should be on elementary school children.
Oh, absolutely. The research is very clear that the younger, the better, because your mind, you start moving into those things. And we know that as soon as puberty hits, and puberty generally has been, you know, 10 to 13, 14, it's actually moved younger even. You know, believe it or not, there's some evidence of 7, 8, 9-year-olds moving into puberty. But once puberty hits, things change between boys and girls. In terms, back to your comment about confidence, when we look at the confidence, girls and boys are about the same until puberty hits. And then girls' confidence decreases. And part of that, there's some hormonal genetics, you know, things, but a lot, some of it's socialization and the way we treat boys and girls too. So then we struggle with those kinds of things. And then girls want to just kind of go down traditional paths. But I will tell you, in my research long ago, a decade ago, it was so clear that the most powerful, powerful impact on girls are people. Not the systems, but people. And their parents are number one in the state of Utah. Do you want to guess on what's the second most category of influential people?
Peers.
Well, actually, even beyond peers, we're third or fourth. But it was church leaders, particularly in the Latter-day Saint religion when they were. It was their bishop or young women leaders. If they talked about the importance of girls and women going to college, that impact was incredibly powerful.
Life-changing.
It was.
Networking. Men are very good at it.
Yes.
We're not so good.
Well, we are
getting
exceptionally
better.
Good in some ways.
Getting better.
We are good in some ways. We're not strategic as much as men, and we struggle with using our networks in the way that men do. Men develop what we call developmental networks more than women. And so that's not just a network that, oh, it's nice to be here, let's socialize. It's actually a network where you can gain more. Yes, very strategic. And the research is clear, and we've seen that in Utah and nationally and globally, that women will have mentors, but men will have mentors and sponsors. And women do not have the sponsors. So that's a different kind of what we call developmental relationship. That's not just getting advice and talking back and forth. But when I have a sponsor, and my dean at the Woodbury School of Business has been a good sponsor, he doesn't mentor me that much, but he connects me to resources. He introduces me to, you know, people, you know, in the governor's office or things like that.
With new expertise and experience.
Yeah, yes.
That can further you.
And it's, So in a company, if you have someone, and usually a man that's in power, that invites you to meet your board of directors for the company or helps find resources so you can attend conferences and get more, you know, professional development, that means that that person is more of a sponsor.
This is not completely accurate, but it kind of goes back to that phrase. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Actually, that is part of it. That is part of it. And reframing our minds on networking, because women can network and we love to be social. We love to nurture each other and we can do that. It's just we don't utilize our networks in ways that can progress our careers. And I have to say, it's not always about careers. It's about sometimes, and we have to reframe our minds, but sometimes moving forward, like the effort I'm leading to get more, you know, to strengthen the impact of Utah girls. So I have to reframe. I'm using my network to actually further this that's good for everybody. It's not just good for me. So we have to, because women struggle saying, I want to raise if they think it's just for them. But if they reframe and say, I have a family, I need this raise to so that I can impact others, it helps us negotiate better. Isn't that interesting?
Very clever. Professor Madsen, you speak on a global stage too, presenting in the House of Parliament, London, the Middle East, India, China. What's the response been like? I mean, I think it's remarkable that you saw the need here in Utah and you're a little dynamo. We can't keep you down. And thankfully, you are spreading this message overseas, also to cultures that are struggling far more than we are.
And actually, I have to say that, yes, absolutely, the Middle East and some of the countries I've been in, India speaking, struggle more than we do. But I also, you know, speak in Europe and places that they're in the kind of the fight and struggle. And some of them are a little bit ahead of us. But in all places around the world, there still is those gender struggles. So I will say that I shared my message and my research a couple years ago to 200 businesswomen in Athens, Greece. I flew in just for a couple of days, and they connected with the research. And I publish books that are not Utah-based, but I speak about some of the same things. I change my message a bit. But I was amazed at how many of those women just connected with and had ahas and were able to take the research that we do and implement it in their life. Now, in terms of the Middle East, that's been an interesting place to research, but I have to say that that's an exciting place.
Well, you're going to see the most progress being made in this field,
absolutely,
in that area. I mean, it's a strange dichotomy. You have this incredible wealth and yet this backward approach to women and their place and their role in society
and
culture.
Yeah, it's changing. I do a lot in the United Arab Emirates. It's changing. But what's interesting is the way that I present the message and the research is quite different. Because when I go to the Middle East and present specifically to like Emirati women, I take a picture of my children and my grandchildren. Because in their mind, and it's similar sometimes to Utah, they want to not work and not get promotions at the expense of their children and family. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They want to be able to have promotions and run for public office and do things along with, it's the and instead of either or. So when I talk about strengthening their impact, their voice, their confidence, I always bring a picture of my own kids and my grandkids so that they can see I love my family. I want family, and I want to impact in the community, and I want to, you know, do these other things. That either or mentality is strong in those cultures, but it's also incredibly strong in the state of Utah. I have an editorial, I believe it was in the Tribune or the Deseret News, I'm forgetting which one, on either or versus and. And we really, two studies I found in the state of Utah have that. We have girls and women saying, well, I can go to college, but as soon as I have that first baby, then I need to drop out of college. It's not like I can go to college and then I have that baby and then I can go in the evening or I can do whatever. That and is a powerful word. The either or really limits women in the Middle East, in Utah, and in other places, I should say.
You had a profound moment when you met with some women who were visiting from Indonesia.
Yes.
And let's take a look at another cultural issue here. We've seen it in China, but also on some remote islands. They were saying, well, this is an even larger problem here because having a daughter is seen as a negative. It's
an embarrassment. That was a profound. Oh. You have found an older editorial story that I wrote. It was, I hope it came across as really a profound moment.
It was.
I was running around doing speaking and this group came to my house because that's the only time I had. And I talked and shared all this great information. And I thought, you know, I probably was thinking, oh, I'm cool. I know all this stuff. And then it just stopped me. That question stopped me. And I have to say that I still get teary-eyed thinking about that moment. And just asking, Dr. Madsen, do you have any research that I could use to help parents understand that their daughter has any kind of value other than the money they could get by selling her?
Sex trafficking.
Yep. Right in there. And I thought, oh, I didn't think I would need to have a document that would help parents understand the worth of a
beautiful baby girl.
Yeah.
Executive coaching is certainly a powerful tool. You coach leaders from across the board.
There's so many interesting things that I can teach and work with them. Every other year, I work with about 30 university presidents who are women at a national group, and I do professional development for them. So that's kind of in the same element. But one of the pieces that I will tell you, no matter how old or young a woman or a girl is that continuous search for identity, that leadership identity. There's often voices, we call them the imposter syndrome, sometimes different kinds of things, that even among the top women leaders, these voices that say, you know, somebody's going to find you out, that maybe you didn't deserve to be here. Also, one topic that the presidents a couple years ago asked me to talk about, they wanted to deeply understand this is a funny topic. You're going to give me a funny look. I can tell. Of understanding women's negative interactions with each other, actually. Because when women are in high-level positions, sometimes they see this
competition.
Often unconscious thing, you know, the crab pot. Kind of like, you know, you're hanging on as a crab and you're pulling back in. So I don't love to do that workshop as much, but it is an important thing to understand. But I also work with these top women leaders on really strategic ways to lift and help other women.
Be mentors to others.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Succeeded, give back. It's
yes.
So important.
And most people, have to say, most women these days are interested in that. We do have a few. Throughout time, there has been one in our legislature that's not in anymore that really kind of attack women and say, oh, women don't need extra programs. If they're really good, they would do it all themselves. And, you know, you have to look at socialization and what women need. But it's not just about strengthening women. It's about looking at the processes and systems that have been in place for hiring and promotion and election and there's just processes and systems that have to be changed. They, and most people don't understand this, but I've had CEOs come and ask me, we keep trying to hire women and they leave. I'm like, describe your organizational culture to me. And then I'll say, well, that's a masculine culture. And they're like, what does that mean? So there's whole cultures that are designed for boys and men and not necessarily women. One of the best books, you're going to have to read it, is called, it's a fairly recent book called Invisible Women. And it's about data. Even data collection is mostly men. So decisions on urban planning and transportation are made for men.
I have about 20 seconds left. Very quickly, good leaders never stop learning. They are voracious readers.
Absolutely. I found that in all my research. And there's an incredibly strong connection between learning and leadership development. And any leader that will tell you that they know it all is not a leader, not a real leader, because it's a continuous process. And it's exciting to continue to develop yourself.
Fascinating. My thanks to Professor Susan Madsen with the Woodbury School of Business at Utah Valley University for sharing her expertise in women's leadership. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you ever so much for sharing this with us.
It's been great to chat with you.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Feedback, hosted by Abby Bonnell. You can access Feedback shows by downloading the iHeartRadio app on your smart device. This is an iHeartRadio podcast.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.